Welcome back to the NutraMedical Report. We have Jonathan Gray here, and we're talking about his amazing website and books, e-books and videos at beforeus.com, B-E-F-O-R-E-U-S.com, beforeus.com. The latest book we've been dealing with every 2 weeks for the last number of months is Will You Survive? And I'd like you to go into the, what's the next topic you want to cover today, Jonathan?
Well, Dr. Bill, I think it's important to stress the importance of water. It's a liquid life, and I'd like to spend some time on that today, if we could.
Sure.
I don't know if I've ever told this story, but it bears repeating. Back in 1970, we're on air, aren't we?
Right. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Back we did cover water, by the way, a few weeks ago. We talked about a lot of water and how water can heal with just even the proper detoxifying water, which we, by the way, have our pure water system, which is the best filtration system in the world because whether it's whole home or drinking water, it's so clean it actually forms spikes on it, almost like otherworldly spikes because the water molecules crawl over each other. The problem is that people don't get clean water, even if they think they get glacial water or water from mountain streams. It's not clean. It's got often Giardia lamblia and parasites or viruses in it, heavy metal toxins from coming downstream, or it's just recycled because of pollution on the planet is actually polluting water everywhere with radio toxins and heavy metals. And people don't realize even in the northern hemisphere up in, say, the Arctic or subarctic, the amount of mercury coming down in snowfall is unbelievable. The amount of mercury in the snow or rain is crazy, along with radio toxins.
What a scandal. We've certainly ruined the planet. No doubt about it.
Yeah, and the fact is we're going out with a whimper, not a crash. And even if we don't have a thermonuclear, chemical, biological, and scalar war, we're going to literally see the dumbing down of the population. There's a new report that came out showing the drop in IQ since the 1970s of the current population, the fertility, the maleness of male population because of xenotoxins that lock onto the female receptor. And people are getting dumber. More willing to emote over things rather than think things through. And to be honest with you, we're having a stupider and stupider younger population caused by the biotoxin destroying their brain and biology.
Yes, I believe this is a global phenomenon now, Dr. Bill. It's not just in America, it's everywhere.
And it's not by chance because they don't want to really fix the environmental issue. It's part of global omnicide.
Yes. Well, we're living in that time, and to be a young person growing up now, it's the worst time in history for the poor children to be growing up. And when they go to school, they're not even being taught right. With a little bit of brain they have, they're being taught that parents must not be obeyed. If the teacher and the parents are in disagreement, follow the teacher.
Exactly. The greatest deficiency in our world is not energy or food, it's wisdom. And the wisdom starts in the Bible, but also with a prayer relationship with the Most High God, because it's not your intellect or your emotions that tell you what the truth is. It's the Urim and Thummim, yes, no stones in your soul that say when you pray on something, whether it's true or not, that will guide you, because you need to be guided by the Spirit of the Most High, not by what you're told by your elders or your teachers. That's why I say the most important thing is to ask better questions, because questions don't come from the intellect or emotions, they come from the soul. Do they?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely right. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to tell the story, and I have a feeling it may have been told before, but I'm going to do it anyway because it teaches us a lesson that we must not forget. Back after the revolutionary government took over Iran in 1979, various people were rounded up for execution. And Dr. Feridun Batmanglij was one of these, and he was thrown into prison to await sentence. Now, late one night, a fellow prisoner was brought to him who suffered severe pain in the abdomen. And after examining him, the doctor decided that the cause was an ulcer. But with no medicine available at the prison, the doctor was at wit's end as to how to treat this man. And suddenly a thought came to him. I think this was inspiration. He advised the patient to drink 2 glasses of water. Well, to complete surprise, Dr. Bill, within a couple of minutes, the man reported that he was feeling much better. So the doctor kept giving him doses of water every 20 minutes. And within 8 hours, with no medication, he was relieved of pain. Well, convinced he'd witnessed a miracle, The doctor began offering water to hundreds of prisoners who suffered various diseases. And he continued doing this for 2 years while he was a prisoner there. Well, to the surprise of everyone, the diseases responded to this unusual treatment. And Dr. Bartman, Maturich, gained a reputation in the prison as a miracle doctor. Well, 3 years after he was thrown into prison, the case came before the court, and the charges against him were so serious that the death penalty was considered to be inevitable. Well, the judge asked why he should not be sentenced to death, and the doctor, in response, presented the results of his work in the prison. Well, realizing that this research and its results could save the lives of millions of people all over the world, the judge, while he condoned the charges against the doctor, ordered the doctor to be freed.
What were the charges against the doctor, that he had done something?
That he was co-tailing with the establishment and the Shah of Iran and others who had been, and the Shah's followers who had been rounded up and were told that they were traitors to the common people. Now, that was the charge.
Wow.
Because they were looking after themselves. Well, the judge ordered him to be freed, and Dr. Batman Gillage later escaped from Iran and went to the United States to further his medical research. Now, as we all know, and as you know, Dr. Bill, water can not only keep you healthy, but it can cure, control, and reduce all main diseases. It's amazing what this liquid, miracle liquid can do. And the time is coming when we may not have access to medical supplies. Well, based on this research, I'd say not to worry, because there's information that can fulfill our need much better with no unpleasant side effects. And this may be the only thing that will be affordable when the economy collapses in some areas.
Yeah. Well, I tell people to stockpile three things. Stockpile food, which is we have the best as a legacy food, or get your own dehydrator and get a liquid nitrogen carafe, because you can sterilize it after you've dehydrated it in liquid nitrogen. Number two, store water and have 5-gallon stackable bottles, which are better than a 50-gallon tank, and be ready to capture rainwater if that's possible, or have a well or some other way of storing water, because water shortages are coming. They passed legislation here in California that in a few years they're going to limit us to 55 gallons per family per person, which basically means you can't have a shower or bath, even a sponge bath, and even clean your clothes. So what the globalists want to do is cut off water and food supplies and eventually move to an e-currency and a matrix so they can control the population completely, and they are completely off their rocker and demonically energized. And people don't get this yet, do they? Because they don't believe they don't get it that the globalists are that evil and intent on doing harm to us all that they don't believe it. They say, no, that's not true. You're a conspiracy theorist. Well, you'll soon understand it when the jaws of the globalists are on your bones. Won't they?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And a very interesting fact that maybe we're not known at this stage is that the globalists are doing a trial run in Papua New Guinea in November, that all the world leaders are meeting in Papua New Guinea.
Right.
And they're going to implement all the advanced strategies that they want to have worldwide, and they're going to test it and iron out the wrinkles in Papua New Guinea. And right. President Trump is going to be there. Even Queen Elizabeth of England is going to be in Papua New Guinea for the occasion.
You're talking about the Queen Reptile, right?
Oh, yes.
Queen Draco Reptilian Monstrosity herself will be there. People say, why did you say that, Dr. Daigle? I could give good documentation of how bad the global elite are, especially the Queen Reptile. Thank you. And welcome back. So let's continue. We're not just talking about water. We're talking about all kinds of things. Firstly, the list of things we've talked about in the last number of months, to summarize, get out of the big cities, get away from downwind of a nuclear reactor or a fault zone, don't be within 5 to 7 miles of a coastal area, be at least at 1,000 feet of elevation from tsunamis, be able to defend yourself in a territory, if possible, where you have a community. That's why we have our Dave Mitchell listed at the bottom of our Shop Buy Products to get on this list of people that want to buy a collective property, whether it's in America or outside America, because I believe we have about 6.5 years of what we call fat years before all hell breaks loose in the world economy. I think we're going to see some earthquakes, though. The current one is a 10% tariff that Trump put on $200 billion of Chinese goods because they're unethical, illegal, and monstrous the way they treat their own citizens, and the way they treat the international trade with not just us but everybody else is obscene. And the fact that they're in the World Trade Organization, the same way as the fact that these collective nations of Europe and America have put trade tariffs to actually target specific people that vote and support Donald Trump is an obscenity. We talked about this in the last hour and a half with Lowell Ponte. But people need to start realizing if in the next number of months and years, if you don't prepare to survive, you're not going to. You're going to die or be pushed to a civil detention camp where they will euthanize you eventually. And people don't get this, do they?
No, that's very good.
They don't realize that also the camps that happened in Nazi Germany, and I want to bring this up because I want people to understand this can be reproduced here. The Europeans have been euthanizing people for well over a century, long before the rise of Nazi Germany. It goes back several centuries where eugenics, for example, if you go to a Swiss or another town in Europe, people that are disabled, they have MS or Down syndrome or any other problem, let's say they've got a spina bifida, you don't see them in the villages because they're sequestered away in enclaves where you can't see them because you want to see the squeaky, clean, healthy kids and people that look fine. And if you have a disability, before the first Nazi killed the first Jew or Gypsy, they killed 275,000 disabled people. People who are mentally retarded or had a disability like Down syndrome. And people have to understand countries like Norway have been so thorough in their process of eliminating Down syndrome, not one Down syndrome child has been born in the country in 10 years. So what happened in Nazi Germany was just an extension of policies and plans and cultural ideals that the people of Europe have had for centuries now. It's nothing new. And what happened there is when these workers were no longer were getting either malnourished or sick, they euthanized them. These weren't death camps because if you have a worker that's like a piece of machinery, you work it until it drops dead or gets so sick it can't work, and then they euthanize them. That's what happened. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Christian or a gypsy, you were euthanized. And that's what people don't understand about this, and that's exactly what will happen in work camps here in America if you go to martial law and subsistence labor camps where the globalists have decided to finally reduce the world population. And especially people that are resisting the globalists that don't want to take the vaccines and don't want to take the national idea that's coming here in 2 years, 2 years to America, passed under George Bush and never mentioned on Barack Obama. And people need to realize these policies are coming elsewhere. For example, in Estonia, you can't even get on a bus if you don't give your biometric card to the bus driver. Even though you don't have to pay a fee, you cannot get on the bus unless you show your biometric card. The matrix is coming, isn't it?
It's on its way, absolutely
right. And it doesn't matter. There'll be various versions. They'll try out in one laboratory, I call nation or another. But ultimately, they're going to collaborate with using all these technologies like Silicon Valley companies compressing and squeezing the poor citizenry of China. Those technologies done by our Silicon Valley companies will come to America someday because we permit them to do it in China, which we shouldn't do to our Chinese brothers and sisters. But we allow it. And so one of the things Trump should do is stop our Silicon Valley companies from being used to suppress and control people in other countries like China because it's an obscenity. Just like we shouldn't be separating mamas and babies, even though it's, quote, legal to do so in the current immigration fight, Trump, in the optics of this, is being an idiot, just like the Republican Party and Corey Lewandowski. So what I say is separate the two issues into a work visa program, like Bracero 2, and immigration. Well, the same thing goes with survival. If you don't start preparing now of having water, food, gold, and potable materials that you can actually exchange or barter for, you're not going to survive the first 2 months. And all you really have to do is survive the first 2 months, and you can transition to what's called subsistence living, where you're still alive. You may not live in the same culture in the same way you did before, but you'll be able to draw a breath and see a sunrise. Big difference, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, survival or not.
So, and people don't get this. I mean, they think, well, Dr. Daigle thinks he knows everything. I don't. I work with these guys in the federal government. I couldn't tell on an individual day when I talked to the guys from the CDC and the FBI and FEMA whether they were stupid or evil or both. And it was disgusting, the kind of behavior and the kind of comments I heard from these maniacs. People don't get it. They think, well, we're just making this up. Look, all the other broadcasters and all the other radio shows on this network and elsewhere don't have anywhere near the experience and the ugly facts that I've seen face to face. And it lines up with the Bible. The Bible tells you clearly how desperate these days will be, doesn't it? But people aren't listening now. I've been doing this in this network for 13 and a half years with a short hiatus over at RBN. And I don't think the vast majority of people have even heard these shows partly get it yet. And it drives me nuts because they don't even want to ask tough questions to challenge their own worldview, do they?
Well, we've got to face it. It's the reality of today. It's not what it used to be.
Well, let's put it this way. At some point, God is going to change their hearts to the point where they're not going to be able to avoid the ugly questions that their soul is going to tell them to face. Because questions come from the soul, not from the intellect. And the circumstances of this world are going to get so desperate, they're going to clamor, as it says in the Bible, they will hang on the tzitzit, or the prayer shawl, of those called to be prophetic and apostolic to tell them the truth before the days of the end. Because lest those days be shortened, as it says in the book of Mark, no flesh would survive. And believe me, a lot of the people listening to this word right now aren't going to make it because they think they know better than you and I. And they don't. And that's what's disgusting about this. I don't want to see my brothers and sisters suffer and die. And not just die a physical death, but separation from God for eternity. Because your physical survival is tied to your spiritual survival too, isn't it?
Yes. You can't separate them.
Right. So please continue.
Yes. Now, getting back to the importance of water, Dr. Bill, all of our processes of life depend on water. We could not even use the air we breathe unless our lung tissues were constantly moist. And evaporation of water through the skin is vital in regulating our body temperature.
Right.
The juices which digest our food, our blood, and also the elimination of waste through the kidneys, all of these require water. And body tissues require specific amounts of water, not too much, not too little. So we should be careful to drink a little more water maybe than we think we need, just to be sure that our body's needs are completely provided. And
right.
Of course the excess is quickly eliminated anyway through the kidneys, so that you really can't drink too much. But how much do we need? Well, enough pure water to keep our urine pale or clear. If it's definitely yellow colour, you need to increase your water intake. Some people say up to 10 glasses a day, because the lungs, your skin, the bowels
right.
will eliminate
exactly
what you don't need.
Beyond water, what other major things should people be considering to try to survive what's coming? Because I tell people, we have some time, some months and years ahead of us. But if you don't start planning, it's going to come on you very quickly, and you're not going to be prepared for the ultimate response, which is you'll be shoved in civil detention camps or killed before you even get there, or you'll starve to death or deteriorate and become a monster yourself and see the emergence of Homo sapiens cannibalis, where people would be cannibalizing other people because they've already eaten their pets. People say, well, that can't happen. I'm saying, well, it happened in the Second World War. It can certainly happen again, especially if there's a collapse of the world economy and the environment.
Not only their pets, but in modern times there have been examples where people have even eaten their own little children.
Exactly. So people don't want to hear this, because as a doctor who's seen some of the most ugly and gross things of satanic ceremonies and other things that humans do to each other in the emergency department and burn units. What I've seen, most people would be so sick, if they didn't have a spiritual life, they'd kill themselves if they knew what I knew. And the fact is, the thing that buffers me and protects me is the fact that God is with us. And he's going to give us a need-to-know basis. He's not going to tell us everything. We don't need to carry the burden of knowing everything. We just need to know he is with us while we go through this hell to get to the other side, which is a glorious kingdom where the rapture is in people. Like, I've talked to people almost every week. Oh, we're not going to get raptured out of here to go to heaven. It's God taking out the evil ones to make the earth sanctified for a glorious people that will serve him and have children that will get to know the glory and the wisdom and the honor of the Most High God. And the pathway to wisdom and truth and goodness is to do godness. In other words, the very definition of evil is to hear and do, is not to hear and do the will of God, but to do what is right in your own eyes, which people don't understand. That's the definition of evil, isn't it?
Yes, it's important for us not to focus on our own faults and the faults of others, but to focus on he who is the solution.
Right.
Focus not on the problem, but focus on the solution.
Right.
And
so
he is the solution, and he'll guide us.
He sanctifies the murderer, the rapist, and the vile overlord, and he sanctifies them by cutting off the evil parts of them, so that evil is not the opposite of God, it's the absence of God.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
Now, how many of us remember the old story of the ant and the grasshopper? The grasshopper goes out and eats galore like there's no tomorrow, while the ant stores up a little bit at a time. And when the crisis comes, the ant makes it and the grasshopper goes without. Now, the ant knew the secret. The grasshopper did not. And as the good book says, go to the ant. This is the book of Proverbs. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. And as we've been saying, in the coming days, the days ahead, the world will be greatly changed. Our countries will be changed, our cities and towns will be changed. And in the days ahead, the wise will have prepared for these changes. And the unwise will be wondering what happened, and they'll be in great need. Now, our ancestors were very wise, and more honest, I think, than we are today, and full of common sense. And they had cellars where they had food canned that would last them well over a year, ensuring they'd be able to plant a crop the following summer and still be able to survive while they waited for their crops to mature. And the media won't touch this with a 10-foot pole, Dr. Bill, but the time of easily accessible food at cheap prices may soon be over. The supply disruptions that always attend hyperinflationary events have the potential to cause major problems and shortages. And at the sign of an impending disaster, grocery stores in major cities will be emptied in an hour. And I think I've said this already before, but it's worth repeating. It's best to plan ahead by putting together a supply of items that store well for a long time, such as canned goods, freeze-dried foods, vacuum-packed food, and so on. And don't forget toiletries and other essentials, as well as, if you're depending on them, prescription medicines that you depend on. And if you don't have 6 months to a year's reserve, then you'd best sell something and do whatever you have to do to immediately get ready to help yourself and your loved ones to safety.
Right.
And better still, if you can store 2 years' supply, do it as soon as possible. Just do it step by step and learn to prepare and enjoy simple foods. We're going to have to learn to survive without government handouts and interference.
Well, the government will be actually the imposition of tyranny. The saying, well, you're starving to death, you'll have to come to a civil detention camp. But, of course, the government doesn't have a national supply of food in any country. You used to have in America 4 years of food supply until the early 1980s. It doesn't have it anymore. Neither does New Zealand, Australia, any of the European countries. The only one that might have some supply is Russia. China certainly doesn't have the iron a rice bowl set up for all their population if they ever get a disaster in the supply of food. That's why they've been buying leases on lands in South America and elsewhere to grow food and import it into China, because the Gobi Desert is chewing up much of northern China and turning into a dust bowl, so it's uninhabitable, and they can't grow food there. People don't realize the food crisis is a worldwide one with climate change, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is, definitely. Now, somebody said to me when I was talking about preparing, he said, but look, stocking up on food is hoarding. But hoarding can cause a shortage and price increases, so let's not be part of hoarding. Now, maybe it makes them feel better about the fact that the only food they have is maybe 2 litres of Diet Cola, a half-eaten Italian sub, and a frozen burrito.
That's funny.
Yeah. Ideally, we should all store enough non-GMO seeds in food to last at least a year, or until we can grow and harvest our own seeds from scratch. And while you may not have land yet, the seeds will still hold value during a food emergency, and they can be used for barter. You were talking about bartering, Dr. Bill, and that's going to be essential, actually. Used to barter for food with those in the opposite situation. So let's start learning how to grow a garden, even if we have to use 5-gallon buckets, until we can get out into the country itself. Now, another question that arises is, does preparation negate faith? There are people who argue that preparing anything is foolishness and shows a lack of faith. And they ask, well, shouldn't one just trust in God?
That's silly, isn't it?
Yes, and there are others who scorn the idea of preparing anything as though it's an advanced form of paranoia. And there are others who are asking serious questions about what can be done and to be realistic. And many, many people do sense that the greatest need for preparation is spiritual over physical. And on this point, I would agree. Give me a man who has prepared all the food and water and shelter he will need and who loses heart, and I'll give you a dead man. Give me a man with nothing physical prepared who keeps faith with God, the Creator, and I'll give you a survivor.
But the survivor is going to do things what God tells him to do, which is to store food, water, and self-protection, so he can
survive.
Yes,
he will. Yes, he will. And it may be helpful to recognize there are two phases to the troubles ahead, according to Scripture. To keep it simple, let's call these the little time of trouble, and then the other one the great time of trouble. And I think we're entering the little time of trouble now, because it's little compared with what lies ahead. And this is when man-made laws are going to impose restrictions on your freedom to make decisions according to your conscience. We're entering into that time, and we'll need to prepare physically. But in the great time of trouble, when your life is in danger from growing tyranny, you'll need to withdraw into some wilderness area where you cannot depend on food storage to survive. But at this time, you can claim the prophetic promise that if your life is in harmony with God, your bread and water will be sure, period.
I think you need to pre-prepare to go to the place of refuge as well as having stores at home. I think you need both.
Oh,
there'll be a transition period where you need a plan for, I call, cities of refuge like the Old Testament. Give a short list, Jonathan, of what people should do in summary over the last number of weeks, what people should do, 1, 2, 3, 4, what would you say to people what they should be doing today to prepare? And again, if they prep a little bit every day, they're going to be ready for a short-term disaster, like a few weeks, or a long-term disaster, which lasts longer than 2 months. And if they're not prepared for what I call the fourth day, which is when the power goes out, and neighbors are trying to come over with their guns to get whatever stuff you have because you're a prepper and they know it, or a breakdown in civilization where roving gangs are literally raping, killing, and stealing things, or literally eating everything, including even your children, and people think this won't happen. They're delusional, aren't they?
Oh, yes, it's coming. It's coming, and it has been happening in certain parts of the world, even as we've been alive.
Right.
But it's going to be, it's coming to Western civilization as soon as the disaster begins to strike. Now, I'd like to give a key principle of survival, which we haven't perhaps mentioned much yet. A man who lived a life of trusting and obeying God wrote in the Psalms, "I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the right living forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And we're told to cooperate with our Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And Dr. Bill, give me a man who trusts the living God, giving his life for others, and I'll give you a man who's delivered by God in the day of trouble. Now, the psalmist also said this, and I can't do better than quote him. "How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him also in the day of trouble. The Lord will protect him, keep him alive, and he shall be called blessed upon the earth. And I will not give him over to the desire of his enemies." Now, that's a really wonderful promise. You see, your preparation is not just for you. It's for others who didn't have any faith to prepare.
Right. It also means that your faith may actually save their physical body and their soul.
Yes, so right. If your faith is in God, who can make edible manna appear before the dew, if your faith is in God, who can divide some fish and loaves and feed thousands, then you have the advantage. And quite honestly, if you don't know this God and he does not feed you, then you and everyone you know will not make it through the great tribulation. Jesus Christ has warned us all very seriously about sharing with others. He says quite clearly that if we share with the least of our brothers, then we've given it to him. If we don't share, then we've not shared it with him. And if we're serious about God delivering us, then we had better get serious about helping to deliver others. And he did offer a key survival principle when he said, "Whosoever shall seek to keep his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life," and we'll put in brackets there, "to help others, shall preserve it." Now, if we have a self-sacrificing love, we will find the self-sacrificing love of our Creator coming to our assistance in the time of need. That's a rule, a spiritual law, which impacts on the physical. And something that needs well to be considered.
Right.
We need to think of others, and our Creator will think of us, and he'll guide us. He'll tell us when it's time to move. He'll tell us what we should do. Listen to his voice, because he never makes a mistake. He knows everything before it happens. And this is where the scripture, and maybe in another broadcast, we can look at the Genesis survival plan. There's several examples in the amazing book of Genesis that are impacting on the end time events, and I'd like to share those when we've got a bit more time.
Sure.
But we do have up-to-date advice, which you actually gave an interesting list earlier, Dr. Bill, and I'd like you to repeat that. Get out of the cities is the first one.
Well, first thing I tell people, get out of the cities, start storing water in 5-gallon jugs, start storing food. And our best company we call is Legacy Food, but also start having a portion of every meal. If you have a meal of protein and vegetables, store it in tubes, drop those tubes after you've dehydrated them with a simple dehydrator into liquid nitrogen, and store them for long-term storage with oxygen absorber packs. Start planning on having materials like heritage seeds. Start the idea of growing even in your windowsill sprouts and greens. Start doing the idea of having a garden. Even if you're in a northern climate or a place that's cold, you can have a lean-to on a south side facing, if you're in North America, side of your house, so you can actually, if you keep the roots of the plants over 55 degrees, you can grow even in the middle of winter plants leaning on a small greenhouse on the side of your home, which you can have a piped in a small amount of heat to make sure that the roots are still above 55 degrees. People need to realize if you remineralize with, say, the minerals that we have from MG12 We have another product that we're going to launch here shortly that we're going to add called Aqua Vivos. You can add, it'll increase the absorption of the minerals. And you can use epigenetic frequency therapy to actually make your minerals absorbed into your plants to create superfoods. What people should start realizing is food will be like the gold of the future. Especially storage food that you can give someone a bucket of food for their vehicle or for biofuel or for whatever, that people don't realize the survivors of the future are going to be innovators. They're going to be people that have thought about how they can survive, even subsist to generate heat to keep themselves warm, generate clean filtered water, generate power so they can have some power even just for minimal things like entertainment or computing and so on. And they're prepared for the fact that you might have an EMP attack, so you want an EMP-proof power generation system. I'm going to be bringing on a company out of Texas that has a EMP-proof power generation system with solar that has battery systems. People need to start thinking these things through and planning it. And if you don't plan it, when we kind of get there and something catastrophic happens, let's say here in America, let's say they assassinate Donald Trump and they replace him with Mike Pence and paralyze the government in the first term, let's say 2018 or 2020, even if they get reelected with the House of Representatives controlled, if America goes down the toilet, every country on earth goes down the toilet. Because America is a linchpin. It's the doorstop for Satan trying to take over the planet. That's why the mark of the beast will come from America, because the power generator of the planet economically is America. People don't know this or grasp this, but it's the truth. If America goes into depression or disarray, the whole world will go down the toilet, won't it?
And Dr. Bill, that is not mere speculation. The fact is, in the book of Revelation, America can be very clearly identified in one of the prophecies as being the power that's going to tell the world what to do, and the world will follow.
And they have to follow, because 90% of the world currency is in U.S. dollars or virtual dollars. That America, right now, Trump is trying to see if he can work a way around this so it's humane. It may not stay humane. And I'm not saying I know who the final president will be, but I can tell you the last president of the United States is the beast. We know that the false prophet is the Vatican, the Pope, which runs the World Council of Churches. We know that Satan is running this world into the ground and wants to kill most of the people on Earth, 90% population reduction, and they want to euthanize most of them with scalar weather warfare, water control, food control, and economic control, and entering us into a matrix, which is coming in the next 5 to 7 years. That's why I say we're in the first of the last seven fat years, and I believe that Trump will get reelected. I think he will try to do something right, although he may be screwing up a lot because his advisors around him are evil. And Trump, remember, is a high-level Royal Arch Mason, so he's doing right in his own eyes, which may be positive, at least temporarily, for America. But a lot of the people around Trump are devils, like John Bolton. Even a lot of the people that he thinks are good. For example, this guy Horowitz, 549 pages of how terrible this was, but he doesn't have any prosecution of people yet. I don't understand this. It tells me that it's theater for public consumption, and I'm disgusted at the news, because if I don't see people in orange jumpsuits and going to prison, the system and the beast and the swamp is not going to be gone. And when Trump is gone, one way or the other, whether he dies of a heart attack or a stroke or assassination or just politically paralyzed, the next president will be the beast. That's what I see coming. And I believe we'll get a period of grace right now. We need to pray for Trump that he continues to do things, and Christians and believers and people who need to become believers will prepare spiritually first. And then their eyes will be open to prepare physically for what's coming, because it's going to be very ugly. And God will take evil out of the world eventually, so the flesh of his descendant children on earth will survive. In other words, it says in the Bible, though they die at 100, it should be considered the years of a child. God will not restore peace on earth, but the lifespan of Methuselah to his children on earth as well. We'll live in a completely different world where evil will not coexist with good. Evil will be taken out. Amazing, isn't it?
Well, the best is yet to come, but we've got to go through sorrows first.
We've got to run over hot coals to get to the other side.